Okay, so today we're going to conclude studying the third chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Yes? No? Mm-hmm. Oh. And we're talking about the wash basin. So this is...
Is it like a regular siyum and we can eat meat after?
We didn't make a siyum of anything. We're just finishing a chapter. Okay. Sorry. So the chapter that spoke about all of the Beis HaMikdash artifacts and the various pieces of furniture now concludes by telling us about the kiyar, which just like in the Torah is mentioned at the very end here, and the Rambam in this chapter is also mentioned at the very end of the artifacts, the wash basin. Now the wash basin the Rambam talks about was the wash basin of the second Beis HaMikdash. The wash basin has three major iterations. The first one is in the time of the Mishkan. It was very unique. It was made from the makeup bags, from the mirrors that the woman brought. And Moshe Rabbeinu was very uncomfortable with this. He said, you know, it's made for Yetzirah, this doesn't really belong in the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem said, Elu Chavivin Olai, those are the most precious to me, because that represents the truest elevation of the most pedestrian, most mundane element of human life, being able to spiritualize and sanctify that. In fact, it was the only vessel, the only artifact in the entire Mishkan that actually had a shine to it. That was, everything else was matte. All the gold was matte, all the copper was matte, the silver was matte. The only thing that shone was the wash basin. And in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech builds an enormous Olympic-sized pool, which is called Yam Shel Shlomo. And this enormous copper structure is on the backs of 12 oxen, 12 copper oxen. And the way the Mefarshim and the Mishnah explain this, that this enormous basin actually was connected to a live spring. There was a live spring of water running through it, and there were spigots around and around, which the Kohanim would rinse themselves. We're going to presume that in the first Beis HaMikdash, they also had 12 faucets. And the reason is that there are 12 Kohanim who are involved in the Tamid Shel Shachar, in the morning offering. The truth is there's a 13th, he's a Shochet, but the Shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, is not really part of the Avodah. In theory, somebody who's not a Kohen could also do it. But there are actually 12 Kohanim who take part on a daily basis in that offering. So there has to be a minimum of 12 faucets at once for all these 12 Kohanim to be able to be Mekadesh Yideim V'Ragleim. They should be able to sanctify their hands and their feet. Why did Shlomo HaMelech have to make it in that fashion? Well, here's the thing. Once something is in Klei Shoris, in something which is used for Beis HaMikdash purposes, once it spends the night in it, it's already pasul. It's disqualified. Which would mean that without the aid of a fire hose, they would have to fill this massive pool on a daily basis, which would be very, very difficult. You're dealing with schlepping pails of water. It would take hundreds of people and probably hours in order to fill it. So in time of Shlomo HaMelech, what they did is it actually was attached to Mein Itum, which is a natural underground spring, and as such, it had the halacha of like a mikveh. Because it was like mikveh-like, a natural spring that was flowing through, entering on one side and flowing out on the other side, it didn't have an issue, a problem of becoming tamei, of becoming pasul by staying overnight. How Shlomo HaMelech did this was a mystery. And in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they did not know how to do that. So what they did was, they had to make this very large wash basin, and had a stand and a wash basin. But in order to be able to keep filling the wash basin, they created something called a muchni. Now the muchni was a large tank. A tank that was brought in from somewhere else, and they would place it on top of the wash basin, and what would happen is it would drip water or pour water into the wash basin. And because the muchni was not considered to be part of the actual wash basin, there wouldn't be a problem if the water would remain in the muchni overnight, in theory, but in practice it didn't exactly work that way.
But how was it connected?
It wasn't connected anyway. It was not connected to a live spring. But in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, at some point, and again, this is only what certain Mefarshim explain, at some point they figured out they had a pulley system. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash actually was open at some point, and there was a live spring. We know that there was a live spring that could run through the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. We read about it, and after the offering of the Pesach offering, how the floor get washed? So they would uncork the spring on one side, and they would plug it on the other side, and you'd have this raging water, a massive power wash, on the marble floors, and then at some point they'd open it up and the water would drain out and everything would be clean. So there were these live springs that the Beis HaMikdash was built right on top of. And it seems that the Beis HaMikdash, in front of the Heichal, there was an area that was actually a pool, a natural pool, a cistern. And they would have a pulley system towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash where they would lift this enormous muchni, bring it with this series of pulleys, and they would lower it into the mikveh. So every night it would be lowered in a mikveh, and because it would be lowered, it would actually be sitting in a mikveh, there wouldn't be an issue. Again, there's two opinions of whether the muchni could be separated or muchni could not be separated. Many opinions say that the muchni could not be separated from the actual, the muchni is this tank, couldn't be separated from the actual kiyar, which is a wash basin, and therefore they would lift the wash basin without the stand, but the wash basin and the tank, and they would place that entirely in the water. Some maintain that the muchni could be separated, and they would only separate the muchni. We really don't have clarity about this. And the Rambam doesn't give us any inkling, actually, certainly not in what he speaks about here. When you look in the Pirushim Shnayis and Masechet Yoma, from there we do seem to have an understanding from the Rambam about this. The Rambam does deal with it a little bit, but the Mishnah Torah doesn't deal with it at all. He just says Muchni Asulay. They made this tank. Sheyiyaba Hamayim Tamed. There should always be water available. And he says the Hichol. The tank was not considered part of the Klei Sharet. It was not considered part of the actual base of this furniture, and as such, it wouldn't become disqualified. Kadesh Shelo Yiyu Hamayim Shaban if Solim Belina. So the waters that would be there overnight would not be disqualified. Shahakiyar Mikleh HaKodesh, because the kiyar, the wash basin, is the last of the Kleh HaKodesh. This is the last piece of furniture, right? Last piece of actual temple artifacts that we're talking about. And therefore, because it was part of Kleh HaKodesh, it was Mikadesh. It would sanctify that which is inside. And if it becomes sanctified, it has to be acted on immediately. If it lasts overnight, disqualified. V'chol davar sheyiskadesh b'chli kodesh, anything which becomes sanctified in an artifact, in a vessel of holiness, Imlon, if it remains overnight, nifsal, it becomes pasul. And as such, it was understood that this couldn't happen, and that's why we have this business of the muchni, the tank, the pulley, and various ways of how it might have been. In the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, the time of the Mishkan, the wash basin wasn't very large. You needed four, just four kohanim, right? Five kohanim if you want to count Aaron. By the time the first Beis HaMikdash came along, we had enormous cadre of kohanim. So that's why we had this, like I said, this great big Yam Shel Shlomo, as it's called, the proverbial Sea of Solomon. That's where that term comes from. In the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, it was much more functional. It wasn't as ornate, and it wasn't as remarkable. It wasn't like something that people spoke about. But nonetheless, it served as that basic function. It's interesting that the kiyar is the last thing we speak about, both in the Chumash, as well as in Halacha, in the Mishnayos, and in the Rambam. And it's the first thing that was used. Last thing spoken of, first thing used. The first thing a Kohen did when he would come to the Beis HaMikdash to begin his service was wash his hands and feet. Right? And this is, it says in Chassidus, this is this idea of not tchilasim b'seifan, v'seifan b'tchilasim. Well, it doesn't say it in Chassidus. It actually says it in Sefer Yetzirah, the earliest books of Kabbalah. But Chassidus develops and explains this idea. It's the concept of what's circular. So a circle is a line, and the beginning is wedged into the end. And we have this idea that Avodat Hashem has to be circular. There really is no beginning. There really is no end. You never finish serving Hashem. You never start serving Hashem. It's an ongoing process, like a spiral, and we continue to go, you know, circle after circle, spiral after spiral, trying to expand the orbit and the area of scrimmage that becomes sanctified through our Avodat Hashem. And each and every time a Yid, or the idea of the Kohen, which in a way represents every one of us, begins Zavoda, it begins with this day of laving, the washing of the kiyar, which is, as you said, at the very end, but also initiates and starts a new beginning, a new circle, a new day in our serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that from our learning of the Beis HaMikdash and its artifacts, we should be zeichet to see the Beis HaMikdash rise again in its rightful place, and all these artifacts being used, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen. Amen.